Hi, and welcome to SwissInfo.ch's program for April the 20th. I'm Jeannie Wurtz. Today, we'll crisscross the Swiss capital in search of proof that politics is not dull and boring.
Vote for me, vote for me. I want the nomination for the presidency.
It's a Wednesday evening in Bern, and 17 people are gathered outside the gates of the Erlacherhof, a building that houses Bern's city council. A woman dressed in a tailcoat, top hat, and steel-rimmed glasses strides to the center of the group. "Some of you may recognize me," she says, "but apparently no one does." "No? I'm Jonas Furrer. I've just been elected the first president of the Swiss Confederation." "It's 1848," continues Furrer, "and Bern has been chosen over Zurich and Luzern as the seat of the new federal government. The first members of the Swiss cabinet, all male, are installed in Erlacherhof." So begins the Bern Political Tour offered by Stadtland, an organization founded in 1990 to promote knowledge of the city's history and culture through anecdotes, pictures, music, and skits performed by actors. Tour coordinator Nico Huko describes the organization's offerings.
Stadtland is an organization that tries to show the other side of Bern through city tours. Our city tours often have an actor with them, so you can have in-depth sights of different views on the city of Bern. Our tours focus on history and politics in Bern, so it's really interesting whether if you're from Bern, you can learn new things about your city, and if you're not from Bern, you kind of get this new viewpoint on Bern right from the beginning.
Four times a year, for 3 weeks at a time, the Swiss Parliament meets in the Federal Palace. When the legislature is in session, space permitting, interested people can climb the stairs to the tribune and look down over the National Council and the Council of States. What's it like watching the 246 representatives of Switzerland's 8 million inhabitants on a typical day at work? Swiss Info talked to a 75-year-old man from St. Gallen, visiting Parliament for the first time.
"And now I said, now it's high time to see once what is going on here during the session. And it's really impressive, really nice."
But his granddaughter thought it was boring.
"Nobody really listens to what's happening. Instead, they're all reading newspapers."
However, her grandfather has a theory as to why this is.
"For me, it's also strange. I'm used, if somebody speaks, I'm quiet and listen. But on the other hand, they have many other things to do and prepare, and they have the only chance in maybe 2-3 weeks to prepare the ground, and then everybody goes home. This is a manager, this is a farmer, this is, so they have to make most of the time use to come together and speak."
Another Swiss man found the subject matter interesting. While he was there, the politicians were discussing whether abortions should be covered by basic health insurance.
So I thought it was quite an interesting debate, even though only one third or so was in German, so that's the only part I understood.
And the rest was in which language?
Italian and French. So that part I didn't quite get. I do like the whole multicultural aspect of it. However, I think it's quite a unique attribute of Switzerland of having basically four official languages within one country.
The French was no problem for the couple visiting from France, who got to witness some decision making.
"For some, they managed to find a consensus. But for others, I think the decision will come later."
For anyone interested in the workings of the Swiss government and facts about Switzerland, there's a free government brochure, The Swiss Confederation, A Brief Guide. The booklet is updated each year and published in the country's four national languages, as well as in English. Information ranges from an interview with the new Swiss president to charts identifying the members of parliament to portraits of the departments and the 38,000 people who work in them. For example, in the foreign ministry.
"Traveling in a foreign country, you are ambushed by armed masked men. You are tied up and bundled off to an unknown location. What's the best way to react to this situation? This vital question is one that the members of the Swiss expert pool for peacebuilding may have to ask when they find themselves caught between warring parties in the world's crisis regions."
Or the justice ministry.
"How does a Swiss border guard know what a passport from a South American country looks like? And how can a cantonal policewoman determine whether the foreign identity document she's checking is authentic? When in doubt, they can consult Eliza Giannazzi's work, She collects and analyzes official documents from around the world at the Coordination Unit for Identity and Legitimation Documents in Bern.
The booklet also notes the special circumstances that apply to Swiss abroad.
Swiss citizens living abroad have the option of registering in Switzerland on the electoral roll, either in their home commune or in their former commune of residence. This gives them the right to vote and take part in elections at federal level, and even to be elected to the National Council.
Although Swiss who live abroad can vote and serve in the House of Representatives, foreigners who live in Switzerland but are not Swiss citizens cannot. How then are the needs and viewpoints of migrants and immigrants communicated to the government? That's the mandate of the Federal Commission on Migration. Walter Leimgruber, president of the 30-member commission, explains.
We discuss all questions of interest in this field that are brought up by our members and accepted as discussion points. And we make recommendations for the government, not only the government and the administration on the federal level, but also on the cantonal level or the communal level, and also for other organizations in this field. And what we do that is not so known, we finance also scientific studies in specific fields of migration.
The Federal Commission on Migration draws on the knowledge of people with a broad range of expertise.
Half of our members have a migrant background, so they come from different countries with different experiences, and they very often also work for migrant organizations, for NGOs, but also, for example, for cantonal administrations in integration offices or in social aid and social security systems. So in this way, we learn a lot about the situation of the different groups and communities. And the other members who are not immigrants, those are members with a lot of professional knowledge from their different backgrounds. For example, we have people from the immigration police. We have people from the integration offices. We have people from organizations like the Red Cross or other organizations dealing with social aid, which are confronted with problems of migration.
Issues related to immigration and affecting immigrants are also the subject of politics at the local level. Christina Anliker-Mansour, who moved to Bern from Peru in 1985, is one of a number of immigrants who serve in Bern's city council. She first became active in politics as a volunteer. One of the projects she worked on was designed to help young female foreigners find apprenticeships.
And these girls who actually have a lot of problems finding apprenticeships because they are foreigners, they are discriminated, were supposed to learn that you have to keep on fighting for that, and even if it's very, very difficult, and even if you have to send 100 applications before you find a place where you can make this apprenticeship.
Volunteering also introduced Mansour to the political community in and around Bern.
And it was for me networking, and it was also a contribution for me as a citizen. I mean, you have rights and responsibilities. I can't expect to demand my rights if I'm not ready to give something.
Do you have any advice, any other advice for foreigners who would like to become involved?
Yes, I would say engage yourself at your district, no matter how, or in an organization, at the school, participate. Whenever you can, inform yourself about the political subjects and don't let the others decide for you.
25-year-old Christine Bühler, a dual Swiss and Canadian citizen who grew up in Bern, is also politically active. She got started in politics at an early age.
Probably my parents inspired me because they were interested in politics. They're both a member of a party, and my mom was even a member of her local parliament. And then when I was 14, I once got a letter that advertised the local youth parliament, so I thought, okay, I'll go there. And my mom said, yeah, go on, try it.
Bühler got hands-on experience working on a very successful project called EasyVote, conceived and run by young adults.
we actually try to motivate young people that they vote on the referendums and that they're informed about what's going on, even if they can't vote yet. So even if they're under 18.
What kind of information is in the booklet?
The same information that's in the official referendum booklet. And it's just like in a much shorter way. It's all on one page or on one double page. And there are on that's all the relevant information. So you have the aim, you've got how the situation is now, how it should be after you voted on it, and what the pros and cons are if you say yes or no. Every time when there's an issue to vote on and there's an official booklet sent to you via post, then we produce a booklet as well.
Bühler's experience so far with politics in Switzerland has been positive.
What's really good is the whole democratic system. So you can really change something, and it's not just the politicians that do something, although it's really hard, especially when you're in a youth parliament. You can't really change big things, but you realize that you can be involved, and if you're patient, then you can see a progress over time. So that's actually really one of the best things of our political system.
One of the last stops on the Stadtland political tour is the Bundesplatz, the square in front of the parliament building. What was once used as a parking lot now contains a popular fountain. 26 nozzles, representing the 26 cantons, propel choreographed streams of water into the air. Is the Bundesplatz just a nice place to hang out, or does it represent something more?
Something very special in Switzerland is that people can be that close to the political system and to the Bundeshaus.
Of course, I know it's a political building, yeah, but we are here because of the water and because of having fun and enjoying the spring or the upcoming summer, yeah.
It represents, of course, the main place of the politics of Switzerland, but it's also a nice place to be. And I like how people just can get very close to the Bundeshaus, sit there, touch the walls if they like to, come and play with the children here. I think it's nice, it's very nice.
Legend has it that a teacher brought his class to the square to interview passers-by. The students asked people if they could name the 7 members of the cabinet. One of the people they questioned was cabinet member Alain Berset, who happened to be crossing the square. That's one of the best things about being political in Switzerland, according to Christine Bühler.
If you compare it to other countries, who else could just walk around and who is like one of the highest people in the nation? Sometimes you even get to talk to them. That's actually pretty cool.
To play us out, here's the brass band Mühledorf playing the legendary William Tell Overture. Thanks for listening. I'm Jeannie Wirtz.